Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, I hope you have your Bible, something to take a note with. And if you do, hold up your Bible and let's make our confession of faith together. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not be the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. One more time, let's thank Him for the Word. Come on, let's thank Him for the Word of God. Amen. Well, open your Bible to the New Testament. Open it up, would you, to the book of James, chapter 1. We're in a series on unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. Why would you talk about that, Pastor? Because I don't want your faith or my faith to waver. And I want to know how to be strong in unwavering faith. And also, I'm kind of dealing with what's going on in our culture right now. You know, we're very intentional at Church on the Rock. We don't fly by the seat of our pants. I'm working on series right now for November and December. We think ahead. We plan. We research. We pray. We fast. We study. We put in the work because we love you. We care about you and your spiritual growth. So I'm kind of dealing with, in our culture right now, it's all about feeling. Everybody's feelings, and I'm kind of dealing with that because the life of a Christian is a life of contrast to the life of a non-Christian. We're not supposed to act the same as the world. We're not supposed to talk the same as the world. We're not supposed to respond like them. You know, as a Christian, we know that we're on this earth to glorify, to exalt God. That's why we're here as a Christian, is to glorify God. If you're a non-Christian, if you're into humanism, you think you're here to glorify yourself. It's all about self. The life of a Christian and a non-Christian is a life of contrast. In the world right now, everybody's feelings are being hurt. Everybody's agitated, mean, grumpy, upset, and we get it under pressure and stress like never before. But we as Christians, we're not to act like the world, and we're not to be led by our feelings. Some days we don't feel like a Christian, but thank God we still are. Some days we don't feel saved, but thank God we still are. Amen. And if you're not, you can be before you leave today. So we don't want to go by our feelings. And out there, everybody's going by their feelings right now. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Christianity is a decision. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling, nor is faith an emotion. I think, you know, I kind of grew up around churches that were real emotional, and I thank God for emotions. I'm all for Jericho March, ripping, roaring, doodads, chicken walks. Some of you don't know what that is. Pray for the interpretation, would you? But I'm all for that. But when it's all said and done, I saw a lot of people growing up, they had no stability on Monday morning. Now, I'm all for that. But, you know, if I'm going to jump, I want to make sure I land on my feet. Does that make, I think there should be a balance. And so maybe that's why God called me to be a pastor teacher, because a lot of my growing up in Pentecostal churches, and I thank God for them, but it was all emotion and not much, you know, meat. So I think Church on the Rock for 38 years, we want all of it, but we want it in balance. I want you to leave with something with substance, that when you're attacked tomorrow, you know how to respond and be an overcomer and have the attitude of an overcomer. So I'm kind of dealing with that this whole month on that faith is not a feeling, it's not an emotion. What is faith? Faith is an act. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. And when I act on the word, when I don't feel like it, the word will come to pass. When I act on the word, what does the word say? We just sang it. If he said it, we believe it. What does the word say? If I act according to the word, even when I don't feel like, raise my hands and worship God when I don't feel like it, I'm acting on the word, then the word will come to pass. When I act like it's so, when it ain't so, then it becomes so. It's kind of calling things that be not as if they already were so they can become. Everything in the supernatural, you know, for it to happen in the natural, I've got to act it out first. Act it out first. So faith is an act. Can you say that with me? Faith is an act. And when I act on the word, when I don't feel like it, when my circumstances are contrary, when it doesn't line up with my life, I still act like I'm healed when I ain't healed so I can get healed. Does that make sense? I act like a winner when I don't feel like a winner, so I'll become a winner, right? So it's so important that we understand that. Faith is not a feeling. And everybody out there right now, they're all living with a chip on their shoulder. They're all living with their feelings, road rage. You know, I mean, I'm down in a certain part of our city this last week having a cup of coffee at a coffee shop, and all of a sudden, this guy throws the other guy out the front door. I mean, he picks him up and throws him out the front door onto the street, starts cussing and cursing. I'm thinking, what's up? This is a coffee shop. You're supposed to get caffeine. I know it's kind of an oxymoron, and get relaxed at the same time. I'm thinking, what in the world is going on in our city? I've been here 38 years, actually longer than that, because I pastored St. Peter's Assembly of God Church for a year. So I've been here 39 years, and I've seen a lot of change, and some of it I don't like, so I think we can change it for the good. I think we don't have to let it just happen. We can do something about it. I saw on the Instagram, one of our Instagrams this morning, Church of Rock said, be salt, be light, be kind. I hope you saw that. That was pretty cool. Our guys put on. So let's look at James chapter 1, and we're going to go through verses 1 through 8. I'm going to go kind of quickly because we've been working on it for the last couple of weeks. But that's our text. And it talks about a wavering faith. And it says that to waver is to doubt. To waver is to doubt. To waver is to be up one day and down the next. I'll never get the supervisor's job if I'm inconsistent. I'll never get the raise if I'm inconsistent. If I'm moody, I'll never get promoted. If I'm moody, I'll never get promoted. Moody people don't run a business, okay? So I have to learn how to have a consistent life. Consistency is the mark of maturity. So to waver means to doubt. And somebody said, if we doubt, we go without, right? So let's look at it verse by verse. And remember, you said it, I said it. God's word is God talking to us. So I want to read it from the Living Bible, and then we're going to read from one more translation. Then we'll move on. But let's look at it verse by verse. I'm going to skip through the definitions because we've already looked at those. You can catch up with us from the last couple of weeks. James 1, verse 1, Living Bible, God's going to talk to us through his word from James, a servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish Christians. So who's he writing to? Christians. So can Christians doubt? Yes. Can Christians waver? Yes. He's not talking to non-Christians. He's talking to Christians, and he's saying, when things get rough, and they will get rough, don't waver. Don't bounce around. Don't be a yo-yo Christian. Why? Because if I am, none of my prayers will get answered. None of my prayers will get answered. So to Jewish Christians scattered everywhere, greetings. Next verse, guys, help me out. Verse 2. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulty and temptations? Yes, it is. We can agree with that. More difficult, more pressure, more temptations than ever before. Someone on staff just gave me some statistics for preachers during COVID. And it came back that 30% of them said, we're quitting the ministry because of COVID. One third of ministers couldn't handle the pressure. I get it. I understand. And they quit. So we're all dealing with temptation to do different things, crazy things, weird things, habits, addictions, give up, whatever. We've all been there, done that. So we can relate to this. If you're in a difficult season and you're tempted to do something you know you shouldn't do, and look what he says, totally opposite of the world, then be happy. How can I be happy when things are terrible? When you know is going to turn around for your good. When you know what you know, what you know in your knower, we sang it a while ago, that everything's going to turn around for your good. And on the other side, I've been telling you all through COVID as your pastor, we're going to come out better and we're going to come out stronger. And we're not going to resume our old life. We're going to reset to a new life. When you know the end, you've all heard it. I read the end of the book, Maps. Revelation. If you looked at your Bible lately in the back, there's, okay. All right, praise God. I read the end of the book and we win. Y'all, we win. So rejoice in the Lord. Now watch this. He says, have the attitude of rejoicing before you ever ask for wisdom. Interesting, isn't it? So my attitude has a whole lot to do with my receptivity of revelation. My attitude, if I'm depressed and down, sarcastic, feel sorry for myself, self-pity, if I'm blaming, then guess what? I can go to God with that attitude, but I'll get diddly squat. In the Greek, that means nothing. Okay? So verse 3, God's not schizophrenic. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible through men of old, and it's a progression. So notice my attitude is huge in my asking. If I'm going to be a master at asking, I have to have the right attitudes. So when the way is rough, it didn't say if the way is rough. I'm going to be honest with you. In the 11 o'clock service last weekend, when I read this, I felt some pushback from the 11 o'clock service, some pushback. It's like, we don't want to hear it's going to get rough. I don't either. But guess what? You know, I still have to brush my teeth. I don't like brushing my teeth and flossing every day, but I'd rather do that than go see the dentist. God bless you, dentist. Hallelujah. I pray your business grows, but not through me. Is that okay with everybody? Because we've got dentists in our church. Hallelujah. We really do. Some of the best in St. Louis. So when the way is rough, it didn't say if, it's going to get that way. And if I'm going to be the pastor you want me to be, my job is to arm you and prepare you and to equip you to have an attitude of an overcomer. So when the way gets rough, it's going to get rougher. Pastor, I don't want to hear that. It has to for Jesus to come back. It has to for Jesus to come back. For when the way, but for you and I, guess what? We're going to live in the land of Goshen. Right? The Bible says, I read it this morning. I'm not just saying this, you know, at 4 a.m., I'm reading my daily devotionals this morning. At 4 a.m., I'm reading my daily devotionals. And I'm reading one by D.L. Moody called Faith Checkbook, is a devotional. And it was in Proverbs chapter 18. And it was a verse in there that said, the house of the ungodly will perish while the house of the godly will flourish. That was a great word this morning at 4 a.m. The house of the ungodly will perish, but the house of the godly will flourish. So I want to make sure my house is godly in the years to come, days to come. They're telling us inflation by the end of this year. I don't know. They're telling us $10 a gallon. Have you listened to this? $10 a gallon by the end of the year. They're telling us all. Is it going to happen? Who knows? But that's why we're doing a lot of things around the church to get these projects done. That if it does happen, we'll be ahead of the game, right? That's why I'm encouraging you to be a tither, because you do not want to depend on the government for bailouts and entitlement, because with that comes control. I'm all for government. I'm pro-government, okay? Don't anybody throw it. Government was God's idea. You know that, right? Oh, yeah, study the history in the Bible. The family was God's idea, and government was God's idea. But we want, in every facet, from here all the way, we want godly people and the right people in the right positions. That's what we want. But when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So I don't grow when it's comfortable. Pastor, I don't like that. I don't either. I don't like eating broccoli, but I do. I hate broccoli, but I eat it, okay? So when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. We don't grow when everything's comfortable or hunky-dory. I don't like all these revelation terms I'm giving you today. We don't like it, but we can't grow when things are easy. We need conflict to grow. Wow. Pastor, you know, I got conflict at work. Good. Really? Well, I'm leaving. I'm going to another place. You know what? That person that's rubbing you wrong there is going to show up in that new job in a different body. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. I mean, I've been a long time, and you try to run from people, those rascals follow you wherever you go in a different body, right? You think, beam me up, Scotty, Star Trek or something. I don't know. Your patience has a chance to grow. Next verse, guys, verse 4. So let it grow. Don't try to squirm out of your problems. Problems are a way of life. You know, pressure is a part of life. For when your patience is finally developed, then you'll be ready for promotion. You'll be ready for more responsibility. You'll be ready for more stuff. You'll be ready for more things. You'll be ready for a greater anointing. You'll be ready for a greater position. All right? So promotion doesn't come from man. Real promotion comes from God. You don't want man to promote you because they can demote you. You want God to promote you, then nobody can demote you, right? So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems, for when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you'll be ready for promotion. You'll be strong in character, and what does God promote? Character. You'll be full, and you'll be complete. Verse 5. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. Now notice, before asking him came attitude of rejoicing, came an attitude of being teachable, right? Character building. Remember, I've taught you, stay a student in the storm. I've been doing this for a long time, y'all, and I love what I get to do. It's a privilege, but I've seen so many people, when they get under pressure, they change churches. When something goes wrong in this church or that job or this family or that marriage, they jump to another one. It's just going to follow you to the next position, because God's all about character. God's all about character. God's all about character. So I need to learn how to develop my character, not squirm out of it by changing jobs, changing marriages, changing family, changing locations. Learn what God wants me to learn where I'm at, so God can promote you where he wants to take you. I hope I'm helping somebody today. If you want to know what God wants you to do, then ask him. Now, remember, we're all in a difficulty and a test and a trial, and we don't know what to do. So our attitude, we check that off, rejoicing. We don't feel like it, but we do what we know we should do, because faith is not a feeling, it's an act. Then he says, you know, that we're to be teachable, we're to learn through it, develop our character, that God changes. That's a teachable attitude. Okay, God, we got it. So now with our attitude of rejoicing and the attitude of a lifelong learner, now we're ready to ask God. God, now show me. Now I can get revelation. Show me. He'll gladly tell you. He's always ready to give you a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask. He will not resent it. Do y'all remember in the Bible, it says when you ask for wisdom, in your right hand you get long, healthy life? Did you know that? In your right hand, you get long, healthy life. And it says, when you ask for wisdom, in your left hand, you get riches, favor, and honor. And the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom will give you health and long, strong life. Wisdom will give you riches, honor, and favor. So I guess we need to ask for wisdom when we're in trouble, right? Verse 6. But when you ask, be sure you're really expecting him to tell you. Expectation. Everyone say that, please. Expectation. One more time. Expectation. For a doubtful mind will be unsettled as a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. Notice, tossed to and fro, up and down. One day I believe it, the next day I question it. One day I believe it, but it's taking longer, so I begin to doubt it. That's wavering. Notice, a doubt is to waver. Notice that the wave of the sea is driven and tossed by the wind. This person is driven and tossed by the wind. The wind is a metaphor. It relates to our feelings and our circumstances. You can't see the wind, but you can feel the wind, right? But you really can see the effects of the wind by the trees blowing back and forth. So the wind here is a type and shadow of our feelings and our circumstances. We can't let our feelings and our circumstances determine our life or the direction of our life. Or the decisions of our life. The decisions of our life cannot be determined by how we feel. It's usually when we feel really bad, we make the wrong decisions, right? When we make them in a hurry, when we make them when we're burnt out, when we make them when we're mad and angry, we usually make the wrong decisions. Verse 7, and every decision you then make will be uncertain as you turn first this way and then you turn that way. To fluctuate, be up and down, to waver. Verse 8. If you don't ask with faith, you don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. So if I don't ask in faith, I have to ask in unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. If I want God to answer and give me a solid answer that will give me wisdom, that will bring long, strong, healthy life, riches, honor, and favor, wisdom that I need in the situation I'm in, I can't have wavering faith. So then I guess I could conclude and say this. Unwavering faith releases the power of God, the wisdom of God, the direction of God. But wavering faith will never release the power of God. Wavering faith will never get me the answers I'm looking for. Can I have a witness in the house? All right? So we're going to go right on through the other translation. I want to move right on to the next segment of the sermon. Praise the Lord. My finger's getting tired. Y'all pray here for my finger. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for technology and to have a screen like this. Psalm 37, verse 3. Here's how you build unwavering faith. I didn't give it to you, but I gave it to you at 11 o'clock service last weekend. The building blocks of unwavering faith. Number one, you have to know that God is faithful. If you're a note taker, God is faithful. Building blocks to unwavering faith. I have to know that God is faithful. Number two, I have to know God is reliable. I have to know that God is reliable. Number one, I have to know God is faithful when others aren't. I have to know, number two, God is reliable. I can always trust and count on God to come through. Number three, building block for unwavering faith is I have to know God cannot lie. God cannot lie. God is faithful. God is reliable. God cannot lie. Did you know in the book of Hebrews, it says for God to lie or break a promise, he has to implode. Did you know that? He has to implode. He has to blow up. He has to stop from existing for him to break a promise. Oh my goodness. So building blocks of unwavering faith is, number one, I forgot, is I have to know God is faithful. Number two, I have to know God is reliable. Number three, I have to know God is, and number four, I have to know God is unchanging. Unchanging. Those four building blocks will build unwavering faith. Faith that won't fluctuate. Faith that gets answers when we're in trouble. Now, let's build on that with another scripture. I love this in the Passion Translation. Look at the overhead. Keep, what should I do, Pastor? It's taking longer. It looks terrible. It's getting worse. Here's what I know. It always gets worse before it gets better, right? It always gets worse before it gets better. And so what should I keep doing? Pastor, everything's going in the opposite direction. What should I keep doing? Here's wisdom from God. Keep trusting in the Lord. Number one, keep trusting in the Lord. Unwavering faith, no matter the waves or the size of the waves. We were just in California a few weeks ago. We were just in Huntington Beach. We were on the beach. We were looking at the waves. Oh, my goodness, they were unusually high. The waves were really coming up, coming in really strong, really high, this, that, and the other. I mean, waves can really, they can push you around. They can toss you around. In fact, they lost one person. They were trying to find a person. They did out there. The waves were so high. But what do you do when the waves get high and the wind starts blowing and the circumstances and you're feeling, you feel like giving up, you feel like, you know, questioning God, you feel like doubting, but what should you do? You do what's right in God's eyes. And what is that? You keep trusting in the Lord. Say that with me. Keep trusting in the Lord. It wasn't strong enough. Let's say it's strong. Keep trusting in the Lord. No matter what it looks like, that's God's wisdom. You don't give up and you don't quit. You keep trusting in the Lord. Number two, you do what's right in his eyes. How to build unwavering faith. You do what's right in his eyes. You do what's right in his eyes. You keep trusting in the Lord. You can trust in God because you have a relationship with him. It builds your trust in him. At the very beginning of this series, I gave you the answers also of how to have unwavering faith. I told you two things the first weekend. Have a relationship with God And number two, have a relationship with His Word. When you have a relationship with God and a relationship with His Word, every day you hang out, you'll have unwavering faith. I promise you. So keep trusting in the Lord. And then number two, do what's right in His eyes. Do the right thing. Don't respond the wrong way. Don't do the wrong thing. Don't do what the world's doing, but do what's right in God's eyes. Number three, fix your heart on the promises of God. Keep your eyes on the Word. Y'all see it here? Trust in God and keep your heart on the promises of God. Wouldn't that be a relationship with God and a relationship with the Word? Wouldn't it, family? Right there it is. Keep trusting in the Lord. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't doubt. Don't waver. Be strong. Be courageous. Be different. Don't be like the masses. Keep trusting in the Lord. How can you do that? Because your eyes, your heart is fixed on the promises of God. If you fix your eyes on His Word, then fill your heart with His Word. Then you will have a fulfilled life. Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will be what? Secure. You will be secure. You'll be stable in an unstable world. Here's the key. God's talking to us. Pastor, I've been believing for my healing, my breakthrough, my husband to come back, restoration, my kids to get right, a change at work, a debt cancellation. What do I do? Keep trusting in God. Keep trusting in God. Don't look at the wind and the waves. Don't focus on your circumstances or the news. Keep your heart on the promises of God. Am I in the book or Facebook? Which one? Am I in the book or Facebook the most? Most people are in Facebook a whole lot more than they're in the book. And that's why their faith wavers. So fix your heart on the promises of God. So number one, trust in God. Number two, do what's right. Not what you feel like doing, what's right. What's right is I take my family to church. What's right is I send my kids to kids camp. Well, if you've been in my guys' Bible study, you know that's right on. I've been talking about that, how the guys are to be the father of the faith for their home. Yeah. Do what's right. Pay my tithe. Do what's right. Serve my church. Do what's right. Be kind. Do what's right. Be nice. Do what's right. Forgive and forget. How do I know what's right? From the Word of God. The Word of God is our moral compass. The Word of God is our moral compass. The Word of God is our moral compass. Do what's right. Number three, keep your heart fixed. Get a fix every day from the promises of God. You'll be secure. You'll be stable. You won't fluctuate. You won't be up and down. You won't be in and out. And what else should we do? Feast on His faithfulness. Feast on God's. People have let you down. They've hurt you. I'm sorry. I apologize for them, for you. I don't like to see that. But get your eyes off people and get your eyes on the Lord, right? Feast on God's faithfulness. Don't you love that scripture in the Passion Translation? I like it. Keep the promises in your mouth. You get the promises in your heart through your mouth. It said, fix your heart on the promises of God. Your mouth is the gateway to your heart. Your mouth is your gateway to your heart. And then what you put in your heart through your mouth, we find out by what comes out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of your heart, out of the abundance of your heart, out of the abundance of your spirit, your mouth speaks. Right? All right. So keep the promises in your mouth. That will bring stability. Hebrews 10:23. Am I helping anybody? We got snow cones out there waiting for y'all. Praise God. Jazz band. Wow. We got some good stuff. Blow ups out there for your family. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:23. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without. There's that word in the Bible. So let us seize. Let us hold fast and let us retain without wavering the hope which we cherish and we confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he, how can we hold on to it and not waver? Because He who promised is what? Reliable. Y'all see the screen? Reliable. Building block for unwavering faith. He's reliable. He is faithful. He is unchanging. He cannot lie. Wow. So let us hold fast because the world, the waves, circumstances, and our feelings will want us to give up, to question, to fluctuate. So he says, hold fast and retain without wavering the hope that we cherish and confess it every day. Notice that my words have a whole lot to do with me wavering or not wavering. My words have a whole lot to do with fluctuating or being fixed. My words have a whole lot to do with me being scared or secure, faith or fear, right? My words, what comes up in my mouth. Notice he said, confess. That means say, declare, affirm. What? Your hope. I love what Nikki was saying in her story. She said, she was speaking Jeremiah 29:11. She said, I know God has a plan for me and my family. What was she doing? Confessing her hope. People are hopeless right now. So they're doing stupid things and acting stupid ways, and they're mean and they're ugly. But you and I are to be different. We're Christians, Christ followers. We're to act and walk and talk and respond and look to the future differently than the world. And we're to confess our hope, not our hopelessness. And when you declare your hope, it brings stability, because the Bible says hope is an anchor to your soul. An anchor to your soul. Say it with me. My hope is an anchor to my emotions. Well, there you go. So my emotions won't fluctuate if I declare my hope that's in God, that my best days are ahead, that it's going to turn better around the corner, that everything's working together for my good, that I'm getting stronger and better every day in every way. Amen? You make the declaration and affirmation, we're coming out stronger and healthier and wiser, and excuse my English, more blesseder and highly favored in Jesus' name. And that, my brother says, it brings stability. It brings unwavering faith. You're going to hang on to that. You're not going to let go of that, because you're focusing on the one who promised you, and he's faithful, he's reliable, he can't lie, and he never changes. He's unchanging. Y'all get something today? Come on, let's give God the praise for his word. Say it with me. God has spoken to me. God has spoken to me today through his word. In Jesus' name, amen. Could you all bow your heads and close your eyes? Everybody here online and drive-in, VR, TV audience, wherever you're at, church on demand. You say, Pastor, today I need God. I need God. There's a vacuum. There's a void. I've tried it my way. It hasn't worked. I want a relationship with God. I don't want to waste my life. I want to invest my life. People that are into humanism, New Age, it's all about expressing themselves. It's all about glorifying. It's selfish. It's all about them. I was there. You were there. But when we become a Christian, now our purpose is to glorify God, is to express God on this earth. Is that when people look at us, they see God. They see hope. You see, in everybody's future, listen to this statement, everybody under the sound of my voice, in all of our future, there's a funeral. It's yours. It's mine. Are you living for eternity? Are you planning for eternity? Are you ready for eternity? None of us can escape it. And you say, Pastor, I don't want to waste my life. I want to invest my life. I want to know why I'm here. This week, kids camp, if you haven't got your kids signed up, please sign them up. Our whole staff, including myself, we're going to be here every morning with your kids, loving on them, sharing with them about Jesus and who they are in Christ. Oh, my goodness. And you say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but Pastor, during COVID stuff has happened, and I'm going to resume my life now. Well, I'm so glad you want to do that, but I don't want you to resume it. I want you to reset it. I want it to be better, your relationship with God. And you say, Pastor, that's what I want. I want to rededicate. I want to reset my life for this new season. In the natural, the world right now is painting everything really bleak. But in God, I want you to know God's got a good plan ahead of you and me in our future. But God. But I have to surrender, I have to yield, I have to give my life to him, I have to cooperate. So online, whether it's for the very first time today, God bless you. Or it's resetting your life, I want you to punch the button on your screen, your computer, your smartphone. And I would say that because faith is an act, it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion. You got to act out your faith. Ask any salesperson. They'll tell you that they want you to sign something, want you to do something. They want you to act out something because it brings a better commitment. Just punch that button. Here in this room, the Rock Express, the lobby, heads are bowed. If that's you, you say, Pastor, that's me. I want God. I want a relationship with God. I want my life to be, I want His peace. I want His joy. I want what God has for me. Or Pastor, I want to reset my life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's going to come to you, but faith is an act. You say, Pastor, include me in this prayer. Just lift your hand up, would you? Just lift it up. Leave it up long enough for me to see as I look at the sections. Christians are praying under their breath. Put your hand up high. Put it back down. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Each time I say no to God, it gets harder the next time to say yes to God. All right, you can put your hands down. Thank you very much. So we're all going to pray this prayer. Everybody, let's help them. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference and help me take the next step. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.